We're sitting here. What's your perception of it?
There's actually more, and it's kind of sad because they all don't need to be panhandling. You know, I don't choose to be homeless, and the only reason I panhandle is so that I can feed myself and get sheltered. And a friend of mine down the street got robbed last night on the street for his jacket, and they tried to take his sleeping bag. Troll bashers are back.
Tell me about the troll bashers. What's happening? What's this most recent incident?
Some friends of mine got chased out of the woods the other day by a bunch of people and with bats and stuff, and
wow.
People are just, you know...
How many friends were involved in this incident?
Three.
And how many people with bats that you heard of?
I don't know how many people there were.
And when was this?
Just a few nights ago.
And where did this happen?
Up in the La Viega area.
Because I also heard an incident about a week ago about people being harassed at the hill overlooking the town clock by people with, perhaps with bats, I'm not quite sure. The report I got was second or third hand. Can you name give me the first name of someone in your group of friends who got harassed?
No, I can't. I'd rather not.
For confidentiality purposes. If you see any of them, and ask them if they want to be on Free Radio Santa Cruz to talk about this, because I think this troll busting is a very important thing that we got to put a check on real fast.
Yeah, definitely. Like to say that, you know, that maybe people listening to the radio station or something, you know, might understand that I'm not out here because I want to be. I don't choose to be homeless. I'm just having trouble getting off the street. I'm not a bad person, but I do make mistakes. You know, I am human. And I just wish that more people would help me out, maybe, you know. If I, you know, I fill out all the applications I can and I don't find work, maybe somebody can put me to work.
What kind of work are you looking for, Chris?
Anything, any hard labor job. I do just about everything.
Is there a number people can reach you at or some kind of contact point?
No, but I sit out here in front of the theater, you know.
Well, Chris is often to be found at the corner of Pacific and what's the cross street?
Church
and Pacific. And that's kind of kitty corner from Blockbuster Music here at the Red Plank Fence on the other side of the street, on the same side as the Palomar Inn.
I'd just like people to know that I am trying, you know. I'm doing some tutoring now for my GED, and I'm trying to take care of my health, and, you know, any support I can get is definitely helpful.
So keep that in mind, folks. If you have some work for Chris of any sort, what, day labor work?
Yeah, day labor.
Why don't you go to the lumber yard, somebody might ask.
I've run sign at the lumber yard, and why stand there all morning just to get pushed away so the Mexicans can get jobs? And the Mexicans will work $3 an hour. I can't work for $3 an hour. I just, you know, I could, but it wouldn't feed me and it wouldn't feed my girlfriend.
Well, thanks, Chris, and I will again encourage our listeners to come take a look down here if they have any work for you. To Skidmark's Bob Duran of a rival radio show. Bob, what's the story with Sergeant Varner?
I just went to Internal Affairs, what do you call it, interview about Sergeant Hennig, my December 2nd arrest, or not arrest, but citation when he grabbed my arm and violated my civil rights.
This is in a criminal music arrest, right?
Yes, but...
Around Woolworth.
The DA laughed at it and decided they didn't want to press charges against me, so I filed a complaint against Sergeant Hennig because he grabbed my arm, and he also didn't do what most police officers do, and that would be to contact me and warn me first that there's a possible violation. He just grabbed my arm and cited me.
Nor did he use the infamous street performers guidelines that we have heard so much about, but apparently are not used in certain cases.
And he didn't grab my breasts either, so...
He didn't grab your breasts? You got some pretty hefty-looking breasts there, big boy. But that's another
so,
matter.
So, anyway, yeah, that's another issue. So, I just went through...
More rocking. It's April 18th. We're continuing here at Church and Pacific talking to Skidmark's Bob Duran, who's referring to his complaint of December and recent interviews by the police department, I guess preparatory to the Citizens Police Review Board, then later looking over the police department's interviews and that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, actually, what he explained it to me, basically, I got it all on tape, by the way. I'm going to play it on my show.
Cool.
is that he looks at it and he'll talk to the complaint person first, the person who filed the complaint first. Then he'll talk to the witnesses. Then he'll talk to the officer in question.
Then he'll whitewash the case.
And, well, I don't know about that. But then he'll forward it to the Citizens Police Review Board, who makes their recommendations, and they agree or disagree. And then I get the Chief Belcher is the one that makes the final decision as to what happens. And then I get a little letter in the mail saying, you know, forget it.
Go home.
Right. Whatever it's going to be, probably that's going to be it.
Well, you've been concerned about police abuse for a number of years, Bob, particularly with Cop Watch, which you were involved with, what, in 1992, 93, thereabouts?
Well, yeah, I'm still involved in it. I mean, I don't do it under Cop Watch name, but I just do it. I just encourage everybody to do it. You don't have to call it a Cop Watch. You just do it.
Right.
Just watch
right.
the police.
Well, Cop Watch actually had a video camera and you were running around town with
No, I just had a still camera. I still have a still camera and I also have a tape recorder. Now we got a radio station to air those issues.
And so we're moving forward, at least until Claudia Wilkins closes it all down next Tuesday or whenever she makes her decision on Free Radio Berkeley. We hope not, actually. Yesterday, I went into the Citizens Police Review Board and asked about the case of Chris. Not the same Chris who was panhandling across the street, but another Chris who apparently got into an incident at Cap Garden Pacific, and you then played a tape of an interview, which I didn't hear, yesterday on your Wednesday, 8 p.m. Is it 8 p.m. show?
9 p.m. Anonymous Info Zone.
9 to 11 on Free Radio Santa Cruz. Has Chris filed his complaint about being roughed up by Officer...
Aura Kako, I think her name is. It's a female officer.
Uh-huh.
Basically what happened was he was walking... Sports shop, and there were two individuals who were, supposedly, you know, buying some marijuana. And the Johnny Sports Shop guy called it in
right. And
said that these guys were dealing drugs, which was supposedly. No one was arrested or cited for anything. This guy walks up, passing by. He notices a friend of his, hey, man, you shouldn't hang out in front of this store because the cops will bust you.
Mm-hmm.
No sooner than that, she comes whipping around the corner, hops out of the car, and starts yelling at him and told him to get down on the ground.
Right.
And at that point, he asked, why am I being detained? And she said, get down on the ground. And she grabbed him and threw him down on the ground. Cut his eye a little bit right here next to his nose.
You pointed to your right eye?
Yes. And actually, I got a photo of him.
And you saw a cut on his right eye?
Yeah, I wasn't there. I didn't witness the whole thing. I was just after it happened, I happened to be there. And
what
I got,
time was this?
This was about 10 in the morning, yeah.
Were you a witness for this?
I walked by. I saw it happen.
And your name is?
Jack Girard.
Okay, Jack, go ahead.
So anyway, he was thrown down on the ground, attacked by two officers, kneed by another officer, Officer Brian. And then at that point, he was let go. And they didn't cite him for anything. They didn't search him. They just threw him on the ground.
A little curbside justice in the most literal sense of the word.
Yeah, and he was like, then Sergeant McCain, female officer,
McMahon,
she came over and investigated the whole thing, was talking to the gentleman, and then I showed up and I did an interview with the gentleman. And then I took him down to, well, first we went to the hospitality office where they're supposed to have complaint forms, which they do not.
Interesting.
And then we went down to the Citizens Police Review Board, and I introduced him to Gary Yamini.
Yamane, actually.
And, had him talk to him, and I think he filled out a form. I had to leave.
According to Yamane, he did not. He took a form with him.
He took a form with him. So
he wanted to get on this case and try to make sure he follows that form.
Okay,
and Jack, have you gone to the police Citizens Police Review Board and filed a complaint?
No, I haven't.
Would you like to do that right now? I can walk you there. It's a block away.
Yes, sir.
Let's go. Jack ended up not filing a complaint because it turned out he had not actually seen the specific kneeing and the dragging to the ground of the man, Chris, that Bob Duran reported secondhand from Chris. You may note that I often criticize the Citizens Police Review Board, which meets Monday, by the way, if you're interested, Monday, May 13th at 5 p.m. in the City Council conference room, not the Council Chambers. That's being taken by the City Council on Monday, May 13th, but actually the Council Chambers. I criticize the Citizens Police Review Board because they are so weak and ineffectual, but I continue to encourage people to take complaints to them so that they can maintain a documentary record of the abuses that goes on, and I believe it has some deterrent effect to report your complaints to another group than the police, even though that group is pretty powerless.
Next we have an interview with Keith McHenry by phone. Keith McHenry is a Food Not Bombs activist in San Francisco who I interview almost every week. He's really a fountain of information, as current information as well as historical information about goings on in San Francisco regarding police misconduct, spying on activists, Food Not Bombs information. Food Not Bombs, of course, is a local organization here and in San Francisco and actually over 100 other cities, which feeds people, in some cases daily, out of discarded food from supermarkets and other places, food cooked in the homes of volunteers, vegetarian meals, and does so in a highly public way to emphasize the skewered national priorities and to empower people to take care of themselves and make the changes in society that are needed to produce a really just society.
Let's see how we're doing. We are on the line to Captain General Keith McHenry of Food Not Bombs in San Francisco, who has just lost a vital flyer on his computer and is agonizing about that one and trying to recreate it.
Yeah, it's like we're working on a police forum against the increase in police repression. And in San Francisco, of course, we just had this economic summit where people like Charles Schwab of the investment firm. He's supposed to be a local guy, they say, actually. But of course, Charles Schwab is an international investment firm.
You mentioned that there were no forums on homelessness and no homeless people invited to this so-called economic summit. Is that right?
Right. There was none, and the issue of homelessness was not supposed to be a part of it. And if you listened at all to KPO Radio here in San Francisco, which gave live broadcasts of the forum, there was a token environmentalist that got to speak, which was nice, and he did indicate, but he was all the time he was stepping over himself to apologize for if he offended big business.
Well, what was
about the environmental degradation that would happen by the by continued corporate expansion? And he made some very strong statements. You can't have economic growth and also a sustainable.
Well, rather than. I've been following this a little bit in the papers. Of course, that seems to be pretty empty. I noticed that the papers made a big deal about how very few people were watching this forum on TV, even though Brown set up these reception centers where people could come in and watch the whole thing on video. Rather than talk about the forum, which sounds like it was a sort of a, what you call it, a plush media event for Brown, let's discuss this most recent and more interesting thing which came out in the San Francisco Examiner 2 days ago. I guess it was yesterday in our Examiner on the 18th and it came out the day before in yours. The question of amnesty for the Matrix tickets, which I find impressive because, of course, it means almost all the Matrix tickets under Mayor Jordan for homeless so-called lifestyle crimes have been declared unprosecutable, including public drunkenness.
Well, the thing that's interesting, that is pretty nice that that happened, and we're excited about that.
This is due to the initiative by Terrence Hallinan, the new district attorney?
Right, but I think there's kind of a subtle concern. There's a concern that I have. He brought this case before Judge Donaldson,
mm-hmm.
who is undoubtedly the most progressive, if not most radical judge in the municipal court system of San Francisco. So the one thing that concerns me is that he had to go to somebody who he definitely would know would support him on that. And when a district attorney has to make sure that his case gets before Donaldson, that means that the rest of the, you know, that things are kind of bad. And I would expect that Donaldson's the only person that ever stood up for me as a judge during my entire time of being jailed here. He's a famous gay activist who became a lawyer as a result of having been attacked by the police at the Elephant Walk back in the 60s in the Castro. And so he's very radical and he's a very cool person. But, you know, that it's an indication that Hallinan didn't feel that he could possibly get this broad of an amnesty passed through other judges in the municipal court system. And I doubt that he would have, actually. The other thing that's a big problem is that while there's this great amnesty for past offenses, and hopefully this will be a signal to the local police that they can't be continuing on this new Matrix program that they're doing because the cases will ultimately be thrown out. But my concern about this is that the police now, for instance, with the public drunkenness, one of the things Helen Ann was saying was that the police never kept any evidence. They never kept any bottle or anything to show that the person actually had alcohol with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good that the district attorney distrusts the intent of the San Francisco Police Department and feels that they have to actually prove their cases in situations like public drunkenness.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to me what will happen is the police will just start stockpiling empty vodka bottles and stuff. And
down here they're stockpiling blankets. They gave four more tickets this morning and confiscated five or six blankets at the City Hall sleep out here at the Santa Cruz on the 49th day of the...
Wow, that's very impressive. Well, we're actually thinking of me and a little family here are thinking of coming down to visit you.
Sleep out at City Hall.
I don't know if they're going to fly with that, but they might for a while at City Hall. And kind of a funny family outing, so to speak.
Oh, really? So some of the Food Now Bombs, are we talking, we're talking adults rather than kiddies, right?
Yeah, right. These are adults that should know better.
Mm-hmm.
Right. but that's something that's being discussed anyway in these circles around here.
Yeah, I heard
Nikki has been busted from San Francisco.
Indeed, Nikki now has a court date that's been pushed ahead to April 30th. In fact, all the City Hall sleeper court dates are being consolidated around the 30th. And indeed, Nikki and Mooncat have what we call, they have a public defender who has actually declined to file a plea for either of them because he's investigating the possibility of what is called a demurrer, namely a pleading to the court that the entire law is unconstitutional on its face or unconstitutional as applied. We're talking about the city's sleeping ban, particularly the misdemeanor sleeping ban, which incidentally I researched yesterday in the city clerk's office. And this is a law which makes it illegal, punishable by 6 months in jail and a $1,000 fine, to sleep twice within 48 hours after 11 o'clock at night or to cover up with bedding after 11 o'clock at night.
Disappeared.
Sorry, hello?
Somehow you have disappeared.
Uh-oh. Well, I'll call you back.
Oh, now you're back.
I'm back. Okay, well, here I am and I'm gone. I'm quite an elusive figure. Getting back about, however, to the Matrix program, the Matrix situation, I'm reading this article in the Examiner, which is the only article I've been able to find. The Chronicle apparently didn't find this worthy of news.
They did, but they had like a very small thing.
Oh, really?
At one point, yeah.
I wasn't able to find this, but I did find that Judy Appel, I'm trying to contact as well, who's staff attorney for the Coalition on Homelessness, filed this motion to dismiss the citations, and there were a total of 39,200 cases dismissed, the majority of which, according to the story by Julie Chase and Larry D. Hatfield on the front page of the Examiner from April 18th, the majority of these 39,200 cases were drinking alcohol, which had enough evidence to go to public, alcohol in public. And you've pointed out that there were no bottles kept and so forth. There were, however, cases that were not dismissed. For instance, 1,200 cases of urinating in public, and Appel, the attorney for the Coalition on Homelessness, said that these were life-sustaining activities. Namely, if you can't take a piss, you explode, and we all know that. And if there aren't public restrooms to use, and I don't know how are those French self-cleaning restrooms going up there in San Francisco.
Well, they do have these restrooms, but there's not enough of them, and the distribution, we got all those slugs to put in them.
They take like the little tokens.
The bathrooms worked, so it's been kind of a funny situation. I don't think that it's been really all that successful, the public bathroom program, and I think unfortunately, it looks like the way that the city is being organized under the new administration is specifically to try to reduce the tax burden on downtown businesses by driving low-income people out of sight. And that program is going to continue. It won't be called the Matrix program, but it's going to be just business as usual program. And so that's why people are starting to organize demonstrations and protests against this. And I think on Homelessness actually has planned a demonstration. I'm not sure of the time or in the day, but there's talk of organizing a protest to defend the rights of the homeless against the new Brown Matrix program.
Really?
Business as usual program, as they say.
Huh.
And so that's something, you know, in every sector. The other thing that started to happen in San Francisco, of course, that affects homeless people is in custody death syndrome.
Oh, sudden in custody death syndrome.
It's a medical term for when you are killed by the police.
Right. There, it seems to be a medical phenomenon that's sweeping the country. It's amazing.
Right. This is something that's
Well, before we get into that, and I think that's worth getting into, I've been following it with some kind of funereal amusement down here, but another thing about the Matrix program's overturning, or I should say the dismissing of most of the cases, is the other cases that were not dismissed, according to this story, is the categories such as defecating in public, aggressive panhandling, and unauthorized use of shopping carts. I don't know, you can make an argument that leaving piles of shit downtown is, should we say, an eyesore, and perhaps certainly as stinky as the vehicles that pollute the air.
Unfortunately, I can't hear you again.
Hello? Can you hear me now?
Barely.
Oh, boy. Well, maybe I should try calling you back.
Okay, try calling me back.
All right. Okay, so we're back on the phone again, and what is happening with current enforcement? That is becoming a really crucial question for us in Santa Cruz, because I was able to corner the mayor in his office 2 days ago here in Santa Cruz, Mayor Rotkin, we call him Mike Rotkin, who actually was one of the original pro votes for making the sleeping ban a misdemeanor in 1979, making it a harsher law. Rotkin has been around forever as a council member. He kind of rotates in and out sometimes. He's a professor, actually he's a continuing professor at UCSC. And council members, and he keeps coming in and out. It's his third term as mayor down here, and he's adamantly declared he will make no change in the sleeping law, and that San Francisco hasn't really done so either, so why should he, and so forth, and if he did, everyone would come to town to go to sleep under the bridges and that sort of thing. And he finds, you know, he makes statements that I consider preposterous, but if San Francisco were to actually change its law in terms of real enforcement practices and Brown was to carry out his commitment, that would be some pressure on Santa Cruz to act. And I'm wondering whether there has been any further indication that the police department is going to stop enforcing, let's say, crimes such as the act of sleeping, merely sleeping, or perhaps sleeping in the parks, or at least, well, let's start with those two.
Well, no, that won't be happening, it doesn't look like to me. In fact, there is a doubling of the arrests of...
We've heard the figures of January, February, but what about March and April?
Yeah, they're continuing at an increased rate. And I mean, I was watching the outside of the public library celebration yesterday. The same Matrix cops going through Civic Center Plaza with a truck that was seizing everybody's shopping carts, and they were going and ticketing and waking up people that were laying on the grass and stuff.
Were people's backpacks and blankets being compacted and destroyed?
Yep, they were having their blankets, and that's become a very big concern of people. Everybody in town is like, all the people on the streets are freaking out that they've lost so much of their belongings to the police, that the confiscation of people's private property is just continues completely unabated. You know, the thing is that actually what is happening is that there is a public statements about all this positive liberal reform and an actual physical increase in all areas of repression.
Huh.
So you have like
liberal lies, in other words.
Yeah, this is and we're very concerned because as you are saying that there always becomes this debate in almost every community about, well, they do this and this and this in San Francisco, then we can do it here. And this is, so for instance, we think that it's very important that we try to have the most progressive, positive community, because we want that to be the message that's sent around the world, not this one, well, that you get all the time where you go, well, in the most liberal city in America, San Francisco, they round up homeless people, and hey, we're doing it here too. It can't be much, you know, all that bad if the most liberal city does it. So that's why we feel that we're on the front lines of trying to defend people's rights, even in other communities.
Right, I think that's true. And in the same article, which talks about the Matrix program and the April 18th Examiner and the fact that all the charges have been dropped, there is a quote from, well, not a quote from Brown, but sort of an indirect quote, which states that Brown made statements at the Economic Summit claiming, well, actually Jordan made statements at the Economic Summit saying that the Matrix program played a part in improving the city's economy by bringing people and business back to San Francisco, and that's the message that should be sent. And Jordan kind of bemoans the idea, if you're going to open up the parks for people to sleep in them and eliminate the Matrix charges, I think you're sending the wrong message, blah, 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 blah. But then there's a statement about Brown. It says, Brown said it was never his intention to stop police from enforcing the laws. What he wants, he said, is to make them enforced evenly so they don't target the homeless. So both the rich and the poor will be arrested for sleeping under bridges, begging for bread in the streets, and so forth.
Right, well, that'll go over real big with the downtown business community when their tourists are being rounded up. They're having sleeping bags and blankets.
That's true. Those tourists are seriously at a real risk for that kind of behavior.
Yeah, well, there are a number of tourists, particularly European tourists, that walk through the city with backpacks on, and I can see them getting...
Good point. They have the
647I law, which is intent to lodge law.
Speaking of state laws that are malicious, that 647I law, of course, is one we both protested back in the, not 1990.
Right.
But what about this law that makes it illegal to loiter with intent to sell drugs? Have you heard of any
that's being
harassment under that? That came in on January 1st.
Right, that's a state law. It's also intent for prostitution or intent to sell drugs. Those are the two alleged intentions. So, for instance, if you're in certain parts of town where prostitution happens, then if just merely standing around on the streets can get you harassed. Actually, so far, police are harassing people, threatening them with that law, but arresting them under other laws because they're
not sure
concerned by the San Francisco police that the DA's office is not going to
prosecute that, particularly with Hallinan's known sympathy for decriminalizing prostitution.
And decriminalizing drugs, right. Both of his support of those things. So what happened? So the real issue is this, that the police tell people that they got to move along because of this law, but when they write the citation, it ends up being other charges, different charges,
mm-hmm.
so that it doesn't... show up when the citation ends up down at the district attorney's office, it won't be flagged as the new loitering law, which is something that they might just throw out immediately.
Mm-hmm. A couple weeks ago, you mentioned...
The issue of how they deal with that.
I'm sorry. A couple weeks ago, you mentioned that Haight Street, a police force, was enforcing sit on the sidewalk, eliminating people sitting on the sidewalk by using not a law, because the law was rejected by the San Francisco voters, but a new police code, which was privately issued by the police commission. Is that still going on? Do you have any specifics about the nature of that code, and how are people responding to that?
Well, you do, if you go on Haight Street, you do see people getting moved along because of this new ordinance.
Is it an ordinance
whatever,
or
police
code of some sort?
Police code, or new interpretation of the police code. Essentially, and so that is happening. I mean, a lot of people are sitting on the sidewalks, nonetheless. But the police are continuing to go up and down the street. The Honda cops, you can often see them jacking people up across from Cole Street and Double Rainbow, and people sit along the sidewalk there. And every time I'm on Haight Street, you can see the police just going up, moving everyone along, and asking them to move out of the air here and there. And it's very sad to see the Haight-Ashbury neighborhood be really kind of militarized by the local police department. And the local residents, in the Haight-Ashbury Neighborhood Council, they're very frustrated by the new, more repressive captain at Park Station.
Who is that captain?
I forget his name, but there's always the people that are working with Hank are very upset about...
Hank is the Haight-Ashbury Neighborhood Council.
Yeah, that's the oldest neighborhood organization in the Haight. That mm-hmm. started against the protests against the building of the freeway through the Haight-Ashbury neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So the the local department is not responding to citizens' concerns on that, but has actually whipped up this hysteria with allies of theirs in the Merchants Association, which they is something that the police have been cultivating for years.
Have Brown and Hallinan been approached about these police practices and encouraged to tell them, at least from the DA's point of view, the DA will not prosecute these cases?
We have not really had any success on that as of yet. Hallinan has been a mixed bag, actually. He's kind of an interesting as a... for instance, when he was at the youth summit, he talked about putting youth behind bars and trying them as adults, and the audience booed him and hassled him because he was so far to the right of what seemed reasonable.
Well, Hallinan has received a lot of criticism editorially for his position that youth be released, nonviolent crimes, particularly youth nonviolent crimes, the offenders be taken out of jail. Does he still maintain that position?
He's still maintaining that position, which is reasonable since they've got the youth facilities completely overcrowded. But
what about the curfew law? Is that a dead letter in San Francisco?
No, that's being certainly enforced big time, and youth are very angry at the treatment that is going on with them. See, the reason that they do have such a huge overcrowding problem at the youth guidance facility is because of this increased arrest of young people and people just being hassled all the time by the police.
How about the...
It's very frightening. In the Mission District, you have these huge, massive troop movements throughout the neighborhoods, harassing everybody in the neighborhood. You get three or four cops on the back of a paddy wagon, a bunch of cops in the paddy wagon. They go rushing all around the block everywhere, jumping out and hassling people, IDing everybody. You know, it's very disturbing. And I think the economic summit showed something very clear about what the intentions of the mayor's office is and what's going to go on. Like back to Charles Schwab, he was very much saying that that the city had to become business friendly, and that it was the only city with a payroll tax, and that if the city wanted to continue to attract corporations to San Francisco, they had better do something about the payroll tax. Now that is code for we need more police repression in San Francisco, because this is how the game works. If you see there's two things that are going on. One, the presence of large numbers of homeless people and poor people on the streets, first of all, is a alleged threat to tourism, that people might not visit the city, even though it's been voted the most popular city to visit year after year after year by these travel magazines. But that's one economic concern. And the other economic concern is that they want to get downtown business wants the payroll tax to be decreased. And there's fear that if we see lots of poor people around, there'll be an interest in raising taxes to provide for those poor people. So they've got to get them out of sight. You know, so that's absolutely important, that they get the poor and homeless out of sight to decrease the downtown tax burden. And that's where this economic summit sends the clearest message as to what the future of police repression in San Francisco against homeless people is going to be. The head economist of Pacific Gas and Electric and Pacific Telesis and Bank of America and all these leaders, corporate leaders, speaking at this event, and they're all saying the same message, that it's the trickle-down theory. This is what is amazing. You have a liberal Democratic mayor who, you know, invited, George Shultz and people like this. He's kind of... just total fascists from all over the country to speak here in San Francisco about economic prosperity, and what they're advocating is that if you allow the corporations total free reign to do whatever they want, that then the economic conditions in the Bay Area will improve, and these corporations will be a trickle down effect. Well, we know
I call it the tinkle down effect.
Yeah, the tinkle down effect did not work under Reagan. Why is it going to work now under Willie Brown?
Because he dresses better.
So that's
unlike Jordan, who undresses better.
Right. Yeah, it's really insane. The other thing that was really disturbing, for instance, is we went to the library, but while they're jacking up homeless people in Civic Center Plaza across the street, which was clearly because they didn't want wealthier people attending the opening of the library to see all these low-income people. And there was very little, actually, there was almost nobody showing up to this opening of the library. What you see in the front page of the Chronicle today was every single person that showed up in the photo.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of surprised that there's such a small turnout. But now the library is also run by these same corporations. The same people that were the beneficiaries of the economic summit and who are going to get all these new tax breaks and everything that are being proposed are also the ones that now control the content of the San Francisco Public Library. So you can see that it's the whole city is up for sale.
Let me ask you this, Keith. The library is a traditional hangout for people who are poor. It's a sort of one of the few free places you can go and even fall asleep. And at least that's what happens in the Santa Cruz Library.
Right.
In fact, people sleep all around the Santa Cruz Library in the bushes.
Right.
And police often don't hassle them because it's sort of one of these areas that they just don't want to bother. And there's been, controversies about, I don't want that smelly homeless person reading a book in a library and that sort of thing.
Right.
What do you think, has there been any impact in this new library? Is there a change in security policies or the right of people to, do you have to have a bath before you go in? What's the story?
We haven't gotten to that point yet because right now what they're doing is handing out tickets. You got to go to this place and get a ticket and then you get a, 1 hour window of time to go into the building, check it out, and then get out.
Oh, I see. Sort of a...
So that's what's going on this week. But, and there's an apology in the little brochure that they hand out there saying, we're sorry we don't have all the corporate logos up on all the different places. But, for instance, an example would be that in youth literature, the juvenile library section, they... that's like sponsored by Gap, and Gap, Don Fisher, the head CEO of Gap.
This is science fictional, man. This is frightening.
They get to decide what's in that area. That's what's going to happen.
Amazing.
And I've been just talking to some librarians.
When did they privatize the library? I never heard that this was happening.
This was done during the last couple of years, and it was... Willie Brown was just hailing the privatization of the library to high heavens yesterday. So now the content in the library has to be passed through the corporate censors. And so they have like a gay section of the library, right, which is fantastic. And actually there is some progressive literature on gay rights there, but who knows how long that's going to last. We know that thousands of books were destroyed in the move from the old library to the new library. They put all these huge dumpsters out between the old library and the new library and just loaded them up with books. And we're not even sure whether that was the progressive section of the library being destroyed or what.
It's a dumpster diver's paradise.
Yeah, well, people did dumpster dive, but it's frightening. So that now, and I've been jacked up repeatedly for doing literature tables on the streets, and so has Pebbles Trippett, although now she's in jail.
Pebbles Trippett is in jail.
In Martinez for...
I hadn't heard that. I know we tried to get a report from her a couple weeks ago. She's the marijuana health activist who had a bracelet around her ankle, was offered a house arrest for essentially using marijuana for medical purposes, and has been fighting this for decades. When was she jailed? How long will she be jailed for?
A few more weeks, and it was like 2 weeks ago she was jailed.
Why was she jailed?
Because of the bracelet thing, they decided against it and put her in...
She decided against it, or the court decided?
The courts did, so she lost it. I believe that's what happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
she's got a case pending.
The house arrest bracelet number.
Right. She has several cases pending right now for having literature tables in the streets. And I just had my charges dropped yesterday on a literature table on the street case that was happening at City Hall.
Again, due to Helen Ann's pressure or other people?
Well, Helen Ann's office apparently dropped the charges, but I haven't been able to go out to do literature tables because I'm trying to finalize the paperwork on my three strikes probation case. So, the probation I was on, and that can't get finalized until I get done with all these pending cases, and so I essentially have to stay indoors just to resolve that problem, because every time I go outside, I get jacked up by the police.
Now, what about Food Now Bombs in San Francisco and your proposal to get a street performer's permit, as you suggested they have in Massachusetts, rather than this rather elaborate health permit, parks and rec permit process, which, well, was discontinued in 1990 anyway, but which DA Hallinan has been pressuring you guys to get. Has that been resolved yet?
That actually hasn't been resolved, but it also seems to be on the back burner of the district attorney's office, so I haven't talked to him.
So you don't think that, for example, my liberty on May 3rd, when my conviction, my two-month sentence for serving soup in violation of a court order back in 93 comes up for modification, I'll either be going to jail or I won't on May 3rd, and we'll see what happens. But that was tied at one point to Funa Bombs in San Francisco getting permits, and now it's no longer tied to that either.
That's not really clear whether it is no longer the case. I mean, we've had no discussion with Hallinan since then. Mm-hmm. We had other Food Not Bombs meetings. We just decided that we were not pursuing a permit, and we don't need a permit, and we're not getting a permit. And that, of course, the street performers document shows clearly, you know, it doesn't say you need a permit. It just asks you to pick up your stuff at the end of the show.
Interesting. So San Francisco does not harass its street performers and demand permits?
That's what this piece of paper from the Arts Commission says.
But the actual practice...
It actually does arrest street performers.
We had a lengthy interview with activist Tom Noddy, longtime street performer. In fact, the originator, among several of the street performers' guidelines in Santa Cruz, which, by the way, are being thrown out by a new Drum Out the Drummers law, which is making it illegal to play percussion instruments between 8 o'clock in the evening and 10 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, that just happened in Arcata, California, as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, they're picking up bad laws all over, I guess.
Maybe bad law sharing network.
They hear the drumbeat of these bad laws, I guess.
There's definitely a network of bad law-producing bureaucrats that's evolved all over North America. It's pretty frightening.
But the thing about Noddy's, we've been interviewing him on the radio. He's been following this situation for 20 years as an individual active and encouraging people to defend their rights as street performers and trying to find useful, non-legalistic accommodations between merchants, street performers, police officers, tourists, and residents. The street performers guidelines we have in Santa Cruz essentially suggest that there is no law to cover this, but that street performers agree by consensus that if somebody asks you to move along after an hour, you can move along to another spot and do your same thing down the road. It's not a question of, it's a question of sharing the space. And the idea being that people will then, you can't force someone to move because there's no legal agreement, but you can say this is a consensus agreement, we encourage you to move, and so forth. This is what's been used in Santa Cruz up to now, but now they're trying to, the mayor has pressed this, what I call the Drum Out the Drummers law, which makes drumming illegal. Uh-huh. But only drumming, not, for instance, guitar playing, bagpiping, loud drunks, garbage trucks, and so forth, after 8 o'clock at night. The noise ordinance for that starts at 10 o'clock and ends, I think it's 6 or 8 in the morning. My question is, Noddy has pointed out that, and he says Santa Cruz is one of the only cities where street performing is not regulated specifically. Is street performing regulated in San Francisco, as far as you know, by ordinance?
What I know of as far as street performance is concerned is that there's two kind of things going on. One is that if the Arts Commission, if you call them up and you want to get a permit for street performance, which is what I did, I called them up and asked them for a permit for street performance. They sent me guidelines for street performance of 1982, which just said you had to pick up your stuff and you shouldn't be in front of a door and things like that. Mm-hmm. But there's also an indication that you have to, there's another department that's when I called up the permit department for the Arts Commission. So the paper in no place says you have to apply for a permit. But there's also other stories that I have, other areas of the...
Have you talked to street performers like down at the wharf to see what their situation is?
Yeah, well, what has happened is that the police tell them they have to have a permit.
Mm-hmm. Meaning not the performance permit, but another kind of permit?
Well, yeah, a performance permit of some sort. So they go in to try to get the street performance permit, and they're told there is no such permit. It's very similar to the food issue with sharing free food. You know, you can be told that you have to go get a permit to share free food, but when you go to get the permit, no such permit exists.
Right, the permit process was ended in the summer of 1990.
This is apparently the same thing, although I do know, for instance, that you can get, that there are permits for showing paintings and artwork in designated areas. of which there are none available currently, and has not been any available now for the entire time I've lived in San Francisco.
Now, are there designated areas for street performers, or can they perform anywhere? Other than, let's say, in front of a doorway.
Guidelines for street performers, you can perform anywhere on any sidewalk.
And solicit donations. That's my phone. Hang on for just a moment. I want you to do an update on the terrorism bill, so brief yourself on that. Hi, Keith. So we're talking now about skipping to the federal level. At the federal level, we have a so-called anti-terrorism bill passing. Well, what, it passed the Senate, and it looks like it's going to roll ahead, but probably without the provision for expanded wiretapping, without the provision for tagging of explosives. That's the trade-off of the National Rifle Association, so that they will support it. But it will have certain very nasty provisions. And what provisions of the bill concern you most, very briefly, Keith?
Well, one of the things is that all of this stuff that's supposed to have been taken out, like what you just said, has been promised to be brought back, according to many of the congresspeople and senators.
Because Clinton wants, the great liberal wants these restrictions on people's rights to be wiretapped.
Right, he's demanded that, and that's really, I think it's even up, it's still slightly unclear as to what ultimately happened yesterday with that. That's not totally clear that was removed. The issue of illegally obtained evidence being admissible in court and essentially secret trials and so on, which was parts of this provision, still might be making an end during the last few minutes of this bill. So people are, I mean, that was not even clear as of 5 o'clock yesterday anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Also, apparently, for instance, now the news story on CNN last night about the counterterrorism bill is that Clinton is going to pass the counterterrorism bill anyway, even though it has a habeas corpus restrictions on it.
Draconian habeas corpus restrictions.
Right, which is very heavy, which means limits appeals not only for death row inmates, but also appeals in all federal cases.
Actually, in all state cases, because those are the cases which you want a habeas corpus.
Right, rather in state cases.
Right.
It also includes a number of new ways, new laws that you can break that will result in you being executed. And there's the wording of the counterterrorism bill.